You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right. All right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. And he says what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we discuss the WWE's biggest show of the summer, SummerSlam, who we expect to shine Sunday night, and who really needs to shine this Sunday night. My name is David, and I am joined not by Alex tonight, but by my good friend, Kerry Morris. How are things going, bud?
All going great. Looking forward to this wonderful weekend.
It should be a good show. Now, you and I met each other. We go to WrestleMania every year, became friends, and I'm really excited to have you on the program tonight. I value your wrestling knowledge.
So, thank you for having me on the show. They're looking forward to New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell the listeners a little bit about how you got interested in wrestling.
I've been a fan since 85. I'm from Dallas, so world-class sports star, and the Von Erichs were the thing. And my name being Kerry, and of course, the Von Erich being named Kerry, that was my favorite wrestler. And then usually late at night, we were with our grandparents. My grandfather would watch wrestling, and my brother and I sneak out of our room. We're supposed to be asleep and go watch in the kitchen and watch wrestling. And that's how, you know, I got hooked and have been hooked since.
It's surprising how many people you talk to that have somewhat of a similar story, that they watched it with a family member. You know, I always say this about baseball, how it's passed down from one generation. I find that with wrestling, too.
Oh, exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, my mother won't admit it, but she's watched before, so she knows about the DiBiases and the Funks and wrestling in Amarillo, Texas, and the Texas area. And, you know, she won't admit it, but it's true.
Coming from the Dallas area, like you said, you know, with the Von Erichs, isn't it so sad what happened to that family over the years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, I've watched the DVD several times that they produced about the, basically, the rise and fall and the death of WCCW and the Von Erichs, and it's just, I mean, they have one brother left, and that's it. No, Elvis and Kevin. That's pretty sad. I mean, it made huge headline news on the news every time one of the brothers died.
Yeah, I didn't realize when I was a WWE fan that the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, had one foot.
Yeah, I didn't either. I found that out, about the mid-90s or so. Like, yeah, I think it was a below-the-knee amputation, I believe, and so he always had a prosthetic on.
Well, Kerry, thanks for coming on the show, and we have a big WWE pay-per-view this week, and of course, SummerSlam. I think the show features a lot of great matches. You ready to break it down?
Oh, yes, let's go.
The main event of SummerSlam is the WWE Championship match, champion John Cena versus challenger Daniel Bryan, now with special guest referee Triple H. Kerry, give me your thoughts on this. How big a match is this for Daniel Bryan?
I think it's the biggest of his career on multiple levels. I mean, besides the fact that, it's his chance to prove how great, you know, just cement his legacy of being one of the great all-time workers in the business by bringing a 4 or 5-star match, you know, with John Cena. Not only that, but, you know, having the crowd and bringing that heat, you know, and then also just, you know, how well this show draws in terms of pay-per-view buys and the revenue. I think that's why it's the biggest match of his career on multiple levels for the business.
Well, you make a good point about the buy rate. I know that Vince is going to look at that. And one thing about John Cena, for all the grief and criticism he gets, he's pretty good at raising opponents, I think. I mean, I think he'll be right there with Daniel Bryan in this match and given as good as he gets. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I mean, definitely. Well, he doesn't look foolish either because the fans, you know, I mean, you know how the fans are. They're 50-50 split. And any chance the hardcore fans get are going to let him have it if he does not perform at the best of his ability. So if he's in there and they see he's slacking or not cutting it, they're going to let him know, and he doesn't want that. No matter how much he puts up a good front, that still gets to him a little bit.
I was glad when this match was signed. It seemed like a fresh main event to SummerSlam. However, now we have Triple H as the special guest referee. Were you happy to see him added to this match, or is that kind of another instance of Hunter, I don't know, wedging in on the spotlight a little bit?
It's a little bit of both. I think it's a good thing because I see where they're going this in terms of building up to Mania 30. This is the start. I think this is the really infant stage of building to WrestleMania 30, so I see why, and I think it adds to, makes the storyline a little more complex. as long as he doesn't overtake the match in the show. You know, if he's used right, it'd be perfect.
I think they put him in the match because they can go a lot of ways with this now, and whoever they decide to have win this match, you could say, you know, oh, he kind of got screwed out of the championship, right? I mean, so it doesn't really hurt Cena. It doesn't really hurt Daniel Bryan as long as they put on a great match.
Well, exactly. As long as the show is about those two and he's more of the background, it adds a little more complexity, kind of like Michaels being the guest referee of the Triple H Undertaker Hell in a Cell match. I mean, the show was not about, yeah, it was a good storyline, but he wasn't really the total centerpiece of it. People still were there to see, will the streak end or not?
Mm-hmm. Do you think Daniel Bryan wins the title Sunday?
Yes, but I think not for long. I do believe Orton will cash in because, you know, Orton is about to have, I mean, Cena is about to have his elbow surgery. He's going to be out. It's more severe than I thought. So I think that belt needs to come off him. Or, you know, if for some reason Bryan does not win it, I could see it because of a Orton cash in and then maybe a little help of Triple H on purpose or on accident. So there's a lot of different varieties, things that could come out of this.
Yeah, it does feel a little to me like when CM Punk was in Chicago for Money in the Bank. I feel like Bryan's going to be a huge favorite here with the crowd, and it's going to be a really kind of special moment.
Oh, it is, and that's why I hope they do give him the belt, even if it is only for a couple of minutes. I mean, maybe they'll have him come out and not cash it in or tease it just to kind of make you think, oh, now I have to tune into Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
To see what happens.
The WWE World Heavyweight Championship also on the line at SummerSlam. Champion Alberto Del Rio against challenger Christian. I am not a huge Alberto Del Rio fan, but I do like this matchup. I think Alberto Del Rio has been a little shaky in his time in WWE. You know, is he a heel? Is he a face? I don't love how they've booked him the last couple years. Am I wrong about that?
Well, no, I would agree up until the last couple of months. Now, ever since the Payback review they had in Chicago and they really brought out a different side of his character, I think now you're finally getting it's starting to catch on. Like, okay, now you feel like you're really playing your character for real. You're not just kind of running through the motions, not feeling fake or forced. And the whole thing of getting rid of Ricardo Rodriguez, I think definitely helps add to his character now. And then the question is, what do you do to keep it going? You know, don't let it fizzle out. But I like the fact they're giving him a great worker and name value in terms of Christian.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that the match itself should be very, very good between the two of them. And so you're saying in general, though, you don't miss Ricardo Rodriguez as, you know, the sidekick here with Alberto Del Rio.
No, that time was gone. I mean, initially when he first came out and had that, you know, hey, I'm the rich guy, here's my personal announcer, and I come out in an expensive car, that worked great then, but that was back in 2010, 2011. Now, it's definitely time the character moved on.
Yeah, I didn't like the car thing at all from the very beginning. I did like, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez, and I liked the kind of Mexican aristocrat character, but I thought the car thing was kind of stupid.
The car thing was a little, you know, JBL-ish. It's like, okay, we just had a JBL, now you're doing it with Alberto Del Rio, so it's like, you know, it's not exactly what I call a fresh concept.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, when we talk about the WWE Championship and also here the World Heavyweight Championship, I do feel at the top of the card the WWE did a good job giving us two championship matches that we don't see, you know, in every pay-per-view. So here, again, using Christian as the challenger, I do not think he's going to win the championship. Do you see a title change?
Probably not, but I think he will still stay in the title picture. You now throw in Damian Sandow and RVD to make it a little more complex, and all four great could put on great triple threat or fatal four way matches. Or if the belt goes to one person, you just throw in one of those other three challenges in, you're going to have a great match. You have two great workers.
I think that's why I don't want a title change here, though, so that character can continue to develop for Alberto Del Rio. I feel like they've kind of taken the title off of him, put him back on. They've switched him around from heel to face. I just want him to kind of really find a groove and stay in that character and let us build the heat around him because I think he's tremendous in the ring.
Yeah, he is, yeah, and I think they finally have his character going in the right direction. I think the problem with the title changes was simply because of Dolph Ziggler and the concussion he had, so he had to get the belt off him for safety reasons because you didn't know what was going to happen, the results, and so you had to, but... And in a way, it worked out perfect. You had the double turn at Payback, and it's only brought out, I think, the best in both of those characters. And I think keeping the belt on Alberto Del Rio will keep things fresh in terms of matches with RVD, with Damian Sandow.
That's a good point. One of the feature matches on Sunday is The Best versus The Beast, CM Punk against Brock Lesnar. Kerry, we have seen CM Punk at the top of the WWE now for a long time. I think this match, even though it's not for the title, has the chance to steal the show and feels very important. Are you looking forward to this one?
Oh, as a personal favorite, I mean, that's the hometown guy, CM Punk. He's got to go for him. And this is another fresh matchup. You have a lot of what I feel are overall fresh matchups in this. And, I mean, the work rate, all three, between him, Lesnar, and Paul Heyman has just been, I mean, stellar. No one can touch it. Their work. I mean, I doubt it'll go last on the card, but you have a great argument why that could or should go last on the card Sunday night.
How great is Paul Heyman?
Oh, the man's a genius. I mean, TNA dropped the ball on not signing him when they had the chance to write their shows. But, I mean, the man is a genius. Say what you want about him, maybe personally, but, I mean, the man knows what he's doing. You can't touch him.
No, and I love the intensity surrounding this match. Certainly CM Punk always intense. Brock Lesnar's intense. You mentioned Paul Heyman. I hope we don't get a whole lot of Curtis Axel in this match. I'm afraid that, you know, he could come out and maybe swing the outcome of the match. But it should be, I mean, like you said, it could go on last if they were just going in terms of what's maybe the best matchup of the night.
Yeah, that. I mean, I've always thought that title matches should go on last, but this is a good example of why maybe it shouldn't, you know, in this match. And I could see Paul Heyman interfering a little bit. I see Curtis Axel interfering a little bit, but I don't see them coming, you know, making an outcome. I could see Punk getting his revenge and, you know, getting his hands on Axel and especially on Heyman this Sunday. I think the question more is down the line, when does Matt Morgan return and become a Paul Heyman guy?
Do you think that Vince right now is going to build Punk back up to be in one of the main events of WrestleMania 30, maybe the main event?
That is, from my understanding, that has been an idea of Punk winning the Rumble and maybe main eventing against Daniel Bryan for the title. That is one of the things I've heard, and that would definitely steal the show, and definitely all the hardcore fans would just eat that up.
Yeah, that would be exciting.
Yeah, so I could definitely see that as a possibility, but you know, hopefully no injuries happen and everyone stays healthy until New Orleans.
You know, you talk about Punk versus Daniel Bryan. God, that would be so much more exciting to me than Cena versus Rock. Even though I liked the first time around, I did not need to see it again.
Well, and that was the thing. I mean, we were both there. We were both there front row and at the MetLife Stadium. And the thing is that most of us, especially the Harper fans there, we knew from a year ago, even 2 years ago from Atlanta, what was going to happen. And that, you know, Rock and Cena. The reason why this was talking the first time is you didn't know who was going to win. Was Rock going to pass the torch on, or was he going to get a win in his hometown? When you knew it was going to be a rematch the next year, like, okay, Cena's getting his win back. So it's like, you know, not as exciting, not as thrilling. And, you know, honestly, not as fresh, honestly. I mean, not to say they both worked hard. Brock getting injured in the match, John Cena being sick. I applaud them for putting on one hell of an effort despite that. But, I'd much rather see this year Punk, Bryan, Lesnar, Rock, Undertaker, John Cena.
Kerry, before we move on off this topic, in general, do you think Brock Lesnar's being used correctly?
For the limited amount of time they have with him, yes, because I think under his contract, he's only obligated to work 3 pay-per-views, and Sunday will be his second, so the last one being Mania 30. With what limited time they have, I think they're overall using him great, honestly. I mean, he brings star power, he brings name power, he brings an intensity and just something different about him that brings also something different to the ring than your normal standard cookie-cutter wrestler.
One of the feature matches on Sunday is a Ring of Fire match between Kane and Bray Wyatt. Kerry, when was the last time you saw a Ring of Fire match?
Well, I believe this was, well, back in the day, the Inferno match. So the last one was Kane and MVP at Armageddon 2006. Only this time, there's no setting anyone on fire this time. It's just, as I think Michael Cole said, it's only to keep the Wyatt family out. So it's the typical submission or pinfall. Just, you know, surrounded by fire.
My son plays the WWE video games a lot, and the Inferno matches are his favorite. And he always asks me, do they ever do that anymore? And I'm like, no, they don't. They don't, you know. Well, now I can't say that anymore.
No, now's the reason to watch him just for that alone.
Just for the Ring of Fire. And it is a nice moment, isn't it, Kerry, for Bray Wyatt? Because he gets to be on a big, big pay-per-view, and he's working with a true pro in this show. I mean, I think he's going over. I think the Wyatt family is in line for big things, and Kane's a nice stepping stone here.
Oh, he is. I mean, because, you know, I mean, they're going to, I see them going over. Kane has to take time off. He's going to film See No Evil Part 2. And the Wyatt family is one of Triple H's big pet projects, and he doesn't want that to bomb. So you're going to see the Wyatts getting more of a bigger push and the Shield going down a little more in the pecking order. And not only that, but all three, but especially Bray Wyatt, I mean, he plays his character to a T. Where it's like, from his first debut, I'm like, this guy has main event written all over him. He's just amazing what he does. The only thing I'm thinking about his character is take him off Twitter. If you're a backwoods country character, why do you have Twitter?
Good. That's a very, very good point. I'm also glad you brought up the Shield. I love them, or I used to anyway, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. Are they really losing steam? What's going on here?
They have, I think, lost some steam. I know there was a little heat, not on Dean Ambrose, but the other two. But I think after their kickoff match or Money in the Bank, that kind of went away. But, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like, I think you're going to see Dean Ambrose break out into a big star eventually. But, you know, these guys have been around for almost a year, so it's probably time to cool off a little bit to make room for the Wyatt family, because you really need to make the Wyatt family look big and strong all the way up to Mania 30. And you can't, and having 2 or 3-man factions, you know, something has to give somewhere.
I have to admit that I'm, like, legitimately frightened by that sheep mask.
That reminds me of a movie that came out years ago called The Strangers, a horror murder movie. And they wore stuff like that, and it took out place in like this home in the backwoods, I think of Kansas or something like that. And so that reminds me of, honestly. I was at work this morning, and I was their theme music was running through my head, and I was kind of walking slow because I had a hell of a leg workout and I was sore. And I just figured myself, like, huh, I could play this character if I wasn't so good looking. And
Big E Langston and Divas Champion AJ Lee will square off with Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn in an intergender tag team match this Sunday at SummerSlam. This is a very personal match for me, Carrie, because in 2008 there was an intergender mixed tag team match that literally changed my life. Of course, back then it was Beth Phoenix and Santino Marella against Mickie James and Kofi Kingston, and it was extremely important to me because it was one of my favorite Glamazon matches, and it really pulled me back into wrestling. It made a big, big impact. I don't expect the same kind of impact this Sunday night, but I do like the inclusion of AJ and Caitlyn continuing their feud. Is this a step down for Dolph, though?
In this case, I would say no, as long as it's more short term. If it was just Dolph Ziggler versus Big E Langston, I would say then it's a step down for Dolph, because Big E still is just too much more of a lower card guy, and he's still working his way up, where Dolph is just bursting onto the main event scene now. But when you throw in the star power of AJ, who, I mean, I love her character. I think she's amazing. She could have been a star in the X era with Trish and Victoria and Lita and China and all of them. She would have stuck out and still been a huge star then. And so, and it's a shame. I wish she was around back then, because I think she made that era just that much more interesting. But, yeah, the last one was at SummerSlam. In that one with Beth and Santino, which I love that duo, I wish they would have kept that going longer. That one was for the women, the Divas, and their Intercontinental title at the same time.
The Women's Championship at the time, yes.
Yeah, Women's Championship. Both belts on the line, that's what made it so interesting. But, I mean, this is definitely a good match. It still gives AJ Lee a chance to be on the card, and Dolph, and Caitlyn, and Big E. It gives Big E a chance to have more experience on a bigger stage. Same with Caitlyn. I mean, because you can't just have AJ versus Dolph Ziggler, although that could be interesting.
Well, I was going to ask you as a follow-up, would you have preferred 2 singles matches? It sounds like you would not have, because you would not have liked what that did to Dolph's character. So that's an interesting viewpoint.
I mean, nothing wrong with AJ versus Caitlyn singles. You know, you still need to feature a good Divas title match on the big shows, Mania and SummerSlam. But in Big E versus Dolph, you know, when they did that on Raw this past Monday, that's kind of like, it didn't feel special or big, whereas this feels a little more special having the intergender tag match.
By the way, AJ and Caitlyn, it's been a nice modern Divas feud, hasn't it? I mean, I would argue it's my favorite feud anyway since Lay Cool against Mickie James.
Well, it's also the only one that's been worthwhile, because when you finally have good characters with someone like AJ who sticks out and Caitlyn, I mean, if only Karma was still around to make the Divas division even more interesting, you know. But I mean, just it's been a lack of, honestly, an overall lack of interest and development in those women. Like, they don't have the development. You know, not saying they're not hardworking athletes, they have, but you just don't have that individual characters like you had back when you had, you know, China, Lita, and Trish, and Victoria, and Molly, and Tori, and Stacy, and just, it was, and they put a lot more focus on that. And here, they all treat it more like a joke. And I think with AJ and Kim, they can build around that and make it a division that'd be taken more seriously. So hopefully those two girls can really rebuild that division.
Damian Sandow meets former tag team partner Cody Rhodes. I love this match, Kerry, because I think these are two of the best workers in the WWE, and if they give them enough time, they could put on a real bang-up match Sunday night.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Those two are, I mean, the two young and upcoming stars who will work their butts off just to prove a point that, hey, they deserve to be at the top of the card. So, I mean, that's another potential, you know, show stealer, show shocker. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a great match. These two can work really well together.
By the way, is the briefcase up for grabs? I can't remember.
No, not from what I saw. I looked up. That's what I thought originally that was going to be the original plan, but from my, I guess not. I looked on the website and said nothing about it. So I haven't heard anything make a big deal about how Damian could lose his briefcase. So I would say no.
I did like them more as a tag team, I think. Well, that goes back to when I was growing up in the golden age of tag team wrestling. And it seems like we're moving a little bit towards that. We have a couple teams, you know, that we see regularly now. But I liked the Rhodes Scholars. I liked them together. I kind of wish they were still together.
I wish they were together for longer, but I can also see that they both, especially Damian, had such star potential that eventually you were going to break them off. I think a lot of times they break up tag teams too easily to focus on the singles. And I agree with you. I grew up back in the day when you had, you know, from, you know, Demolition, Heart Foundation, the Bulldogs, the Rockers, Orient Express, Powers of Pain. I mean, all those guys. It was just amazing. If you have, you know, Survivor Series, you have 5-10-man tag teams going at it, and it was such a huge depth, and they all had a lot of talent. And I guess it is a different era, but it'd be nice to bring some of that back besides just having, you know, the primetime players who I think could be young and great and talented, but you need more depth in a couple of teams.
Yeah, now, you know, I got to give Cody a lot of credit. You talk about tag teams. Of course, he was with Ted DiBiase Jr. when they were Legacy, and I liked them.
And
there.
Bob Holly.
Yeah, and he's hung around. You know, he's a tremendous worker, in my opinion. I think at times his character has been bland, but then at times he's more interesting, and I liked him when he had the Intercontinental title, and I do like Cody Rhodes in general, so I'm glad to see them giving him a showcase match Sunday night.
Oh, I agree. I think he's earned it. I think he is a hard worker, and I mean, I'm sure there's some idiots who say, "Oh, it's because of his dad." No, the guy works hard. He's earned his spot, and he earns to have a chance to prove himself to work his way up the ladder even more and be in a top spot. As a side note, I wish you shaved that god awful mustache. I think that time has come for that. It's time for it to go. It was there, and now it's run its course. But no, I agree. He's a tremendous worker, and I think this split actually brought out more of an interesting character in Cody, so I think he can even build that even more and make it more interesting where more people are going to want to see him and see him go up the ladder in main event.
Giving the briefcase to Damian Sandow was, I think, the right thing to do for his character right now. I liked that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it gives an interesting, it gives him more diversity to his character, and then now you can make the world title picture even more complex when you throw in Christian and RVD, and maybe even a Dean Ambrose and Damian Sandow and Alberto Del Rio. So you have a core group of guys who work really hard, always fun, good matches. I mean, you can interchange them in and out, triple threats, fatal four ways, and it won't be just the same bland, boring two guys going at it for the belt over and over again.
Brie Bella squares off in one-on-one Divas action against Natalya Neidhart. This feels a little contrived for me, Kerry, because of this whole Total Divas television program, but it's kind of a shocker to see, really, you know, the Divas featured in two matches. Were you surprised this was added to the card?
I heard about this coming. The issue was with Nikki and her injuries, would she be able to compete or not, and obviously not, so they're going to have, so they went with just Natalya versus Brie, and I mean, I'm happy for Natalya. She's finally getting a spot. She's, again, someone who's worked for and earned it, not just because she has the last name Neidhart.
Yep.
And I mean, I think obviously, yes, this comes from the Total Divas program, but I mean, it's a successful show. The ratings keep going up every week. He has decided to pick up 8 more episodes for the season 1. They're talking about a season 2. And so in a way, I don't blame them for trying to capitalize on it. And honestly, as of now, because of that, I mean, from my understanding, the Bellas have more stock in the Divas division than AJ and Caitlyn.
I was going to ask you, how important are the Bellas to the Divas division? I thought when they came back, Kerry, a couple months ago, that was important because for the previous year and a half before that, the Divas division was decimated by people leaving. Kelly Kelly, Beth Phoenix, Melina, Michelle McCool, Jillian Hall, Gail Kim. I mean, it was unbelievable. Even Karma coming back for a little while, and then, of course, that not working out. So I thought just bringing the Bellas back and integrating them in the storylines, I don't care who they're dating, frankly, you know, how much that happens with it. Yeah, but I think it was important to bring them back, and they are important. Whether they're more important than AJ and Caitlyn, I don't know, but it's nice to see them creating additional storylines outside of just the Divas Championship.
Well, yeah, and then that's what you had back in the day. They actually have all that huge depth of Divas and women wrestlers back then. Same thing now. Now that the Bellas back, I mean, they were unique. In fact, you had two twin athletes who obviously people can get behind the stories and believe, well, and their characters, you definitely believe and get behind. You definitely see why people would hate their characters when they come off on TV. So they play the heel role well. And so I think it's good in some ways to have. Nothing wrong with having a couple of Divas matches on the show, especially when, you know, it's not just, I mean, it does seem kind of thrown together, but at the same time, it's like you have a good worker, Natalya. You have Brie with star power from the reality show. And so, I mean, it could lead to some good things, honestly.
I agree. And you mentioned it. It's good to see Natalya get a match. Of course, every time there's a match like this, I think, oh, maybe, you know, maybe Natalya will get double teamed by Nikki and they'll beat her up and then Beth Phoenix will come back and then, you know, I'll be happy again. And I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors on that. I doubt it'll happen, but, you know, I keep my fingers crossed. I did want to ask you, though, do you think we'll see John Cena and Daniel Bryan here? I mean, this seems to me like they're going to put this in the middle of the show. Cena and Bryan come out here to defend their ladies, so to speak, and then that maybe pumps up the main event. Or do you think they do not get involved?
I say do not. You do not need that. To me, that's going to only hurt the WWE title match. You need to keep that separate, honestly. Keep that.
That's a good
point. In this case right now, keep the real-life stuff out of it. They're dating. Wonderful. Keep that on the side. Keep that for the reality show. Keep that focus on the Divas match. Keep the focus on the WWE title match. Oh, that's just going to, I think, just bring those two guys down. No offense to the Bellas or Natalya. But I think you need to keep it separate. That's about two guys wanting to be the best and having that prestige and holding that belt. And have them come out and defend their girlfriends. I don't see doing really good to hype the title match.
Oh, good point. There's a kickoff match at SummerSlam. It's the WWE United States Champion Dean Ambrose defending against challenger Rob Van Dam. Of course, Van Dam, the winner of a 20-man over-the-top rope battle royal on Monday Night Raw to earn this spot. By the way, Kerry, what is a kickoff match? Is that in the pre-show? Is that what they mean by that?
Yeah, it's the pre-show. It's kind of like, you know, what they did for Mania, and they could give kind of more of a big show feel to kind of get you. So you want to put on a match that's going to be interesting and give people like, oh, wow, this is what the opening match is. Imagine what the rest was like. I got to buy the show. So I think that's why you put two great workers into the kickoff pre-show to get people hyped and excited for the event, or anyone who's kind of on the fence say, yeah, I'll go ahead and buy the show.
Well, I love Dean Ambrose. I think he's a hot act in the company. You mentioned there may have been some issues behind the scenes with, you know, Rollins and Reigns and maybe the Shield overall. I really hope they keep pushing him. I think he could be a great, great piece of WWE for a long time.
Oh, I agree. I think he's the one that's going to really, really, truly break out. And I think Roman Reigns could be another one that eventually breaks out. But I definitely see Dean Ambrose. They're going to eventually, I think, break them off and make him more of the single star and push him higher. I think I think some of that is factored to be pushed higher to the card. And where the other two may go down a little bit, but I think Dean will go up.
You know, that's the key. We all know professional wrestling is staged entertainment, but for some reason, there's a performer here and there that kind of overtakes that and feels real. My co-host Alex always says this about Brock Lesnar. You know, Lesnar just feels real. Of course, he had the UFC success, but I think Dean Ambrose does, too. I think Dean Ambrose just comes off as kind of like a badass.
Oh, I think so. And I think that's, you know, I think in Brock's interview running today or yesterday with LA Times, that's just more of who he really is a lot of times. And he brings that in his character. And so I think Dean's the same way. And I think you see the same thing in Punk and in Daniel Bryan, which a lot of those guys are just, I mean, the crowd is just loving them, you know, no matter, you know, they may not have the typical look or size, you know, of that people may have wanted back in the day. They do seem more real. And that's what people want. Someone they can relate to.
Now let's talk about the challenger here, Rob Van Dam. It's been interesting a couple weeks since he's been back in the company. Do you think he gets a big moment here and wins the United States title?
I think he needs to. I mean, you brought him back as a big thing, and all of a sudden he's on the second biggest show of the year. He's in the kickoff match when he should be on the card. He needs something. If you don't put the title on, you make him look strong, losing maybe to interference from the Shield, and then put him in the world title picture. I mean, it's almost as if they got this shiny new toy, and they don't know what to do with it now. They throw it in the box with the other shiny toys, and you know, what's one do we play with next?
Well, it should be a good show. Before we let you go here, Kerry, what do you think is going to be the match of the night?
Ooh, in terms of show stealing, the one that's going to be just people talking about the most, I think it's going to come down to either Punk and Lesnar or the WWE title match. Mm-hmm. That's just such a toss-up. Both, I think, can walk away just an equal amount of like, oh my God, you see what happened. I can't believe they did this, or I can't believe they went this route, or where will they go next? I think both have equal amounts of just stealing the show in that way and get people talking.
Well, is there a match you're most looking forward to?
I want to say CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. I'm really curious to see where they go with that. I mean, the title match is a very close second.
Mm-hmm. Who has the most pressure on them Sunday night? Who's under the most pressure to really, really perform?
I'm going to have to say, of all the entire card, I'm going to have to say Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be one of them. I think I'm not saying he can't handle it, but I think in a lot of ways he's going to be, because I mean that's everyone's wanting to see him win that title and put on a 5-star match. So everyone's going to want to just see the perfect match, you know, have the story told just right in the ring, and I think everyone's going to look on him to, a lot of ways, I mean, not to knock him, but I think Kerry's seen him more in those terms.
Personally, do you have a favorite SummerSlam memory or match, you know, that you remember watching and it's among your all-time favorites?
That's a tough one. SummerSlam is always a little special to me. 89 was the first one my parents let us watch on pay-per-view, so it's always been like the kind of special first pay-per-view I've ever watched. But I would have to say the 2000 TLC match in Raleigh, when I flew out there and watched that match was the one people just kept talking about, and I watched over and over again. And it was to be there live and see the first one, second row was, I mean, unbelievable.
By the way, so for people that have thought about maybe going to WrestleMania on a travel package, if you haven't gone to SummerSlam on a travel package, it's a really good deal. The tickets are a lot less expensive. The whole week feels a lot less hectic, right? SummerSlam travel packages are really a good dollar value.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I've never done one. I mean, they only started doing that a couple of years ago. But, yeah, I mean, talking, you know, some of the guys in our group that are going, that are there right now. And when I see the prices, I mean, yeah. I mean, when I'm talking from Jay and Hal, and they're telling me that you know, that what they're getting for it's amazing. I'm like, I may do it next year, honestly.
Well, the lines are not nearly as long. I did it last year. I was going to go one time in my life. I went in 2012. I had a great time. And it was just everything, Kerry, was a little bit more intimate. You know, you didn't have to take as much public transportation to all the different venues, and the lines weren't nearly as long. And I just thought, wow, you know, people always think WrestleMania is the be-all, end-all destination, but SummerSlam, for people out there thinking about it, is a really, really nice alternative.
Well, I'd absolutely agree. I'd say for your dollar amount, which is a more intimate setting, kind of like what the WrestleMania travel packages used to be way back in the day. And next, I still enjoy the WrestleMania packages very much. Those are the ones I'm always going to go to. But I definitely will try SummerSlam just for the money and for the intimate setting. And now with the new, I'm not sure if you read about it, the new premium VIP access tickets that are coming with packages. So it's a little more intimate, a little more special.
Mm-hmm.
That hopefully will be included in the WrestleMania 30 travel packages.
Hmm. Really enjoyed having you on the show, Kerry. Tell people where they can find you on social media.
Just under my name on Facebook, Kerry Morris. I just signed up for a Twitter So I'll have to play with that. I'm not much of a techie, but it's Chi-Town OT as my Twitter name or handle or whatever the term is.
Okay, good. Well, I'll post all of that with the interview. I want to thank you for joining me today. I really enjoyed having you on the program.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
And don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thank you again, Kerry, for joining me tonight. Maybe we'll have you back in the future, maybe do a WrestleMania preview.
I say yes, we should.
Absolutely. Maybe even a Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is another good show.
Oh, yeah, that's another one that I would never miss that on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the program. We hope you're looking forward to SummerSlam this Sunday, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, well, that's okay.